For a great cup of joe, there's one thing you should know. Your morning brew can also be playful. Buff Boy Brewing guys make the temperature rise, and you surely feel naughty when you swallow our coffee. If you want some real heat, give your mouth a fine treat. You will want some more, rest assured. Buff Boy Brewing, you can't get enough of.
It's time for The Scribble, your weekly fix of celebrity chats, bizarre stories in the news, and basic random chatter with best-selling author and syndicated radio host Jeremy Bradley. Make sure your seat is in the upright and locked position and your barf bag is securely in place. Here's Jeremy Bradley.
Thank you very much, Larson. Jeremy Bradley here. This is The Scribble. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm going to be honest with you right up front here. The segments that you're about to hear on this show today, I've already taped them. Okay, we're doing this sort of out of sequence. We're doing it backwards. I'm doing the introduction now because I already know what I've talked about and how I've said it. So on the show this week, I'm going to be honest, it's a rambling 30 minutes, but I hope you're going to find it entertaining. I take a walk down memory lane with the sign-off of our syndicated radio show called Top of the Charts. And it was about 3 years ago, this week, I believe, that we started to plan the big goodbye. And you think about, you know, with the TV show, the big finale, right? What's David Letterman's last show going to be, or Jimmy Fallon's last show going to be, or somebody on, you know, SNL, or a daytime talk show, right? How's Oprah going to sign off? And so we kind of had that sort of predicament. 15 years is a milestone on the radio. What do you do, right? We had red carpets. We had all these things that we had covered and featured over the years. How do you end 15 years? How do you say goodbye? Is it a celebrity, you know, chat fest? Is it a tourism program from some hotspot destination, which we'd featured so many times before? How do we end the show? So I'm going to relive that, and because it was just so much fun, and it was so bizarre, because you'd think this was our original plan, and then this changed, and then this changed, and then that changed, and then this happened, and then that. And so I tell the story on the show. So we're going to get into that on The Scribble right after this.
Isn't it crazy that you wait for payday, but before you know it, you're strapped for cash again? It's time to stop blowing your money and become a smart spender with the book, The Official Guide to Being an American Cheapskate, at cheapskatebook.com. Learn simple ways to cut costs at home every day and during special times of the year. Don't go broke at Christmas. Don't remortgage the house for a fancy vacation. The book is filled with tips to save you money throughout the year. Check out the best-selling book, The Official Guide to Being an American Cheapskate, at cheapskatebook.com or on Amazon and iTunes.
Jeremy Bradley here, back on The Scribble. You know, I look at the calendar and I can't help but remember it was about 3 years ago, I think maybe even 3 years ago this week, that we were putting the finishing touches on my farewell on the radio show. I was hosting a show called Top of the Charts in a radio syndication for 15 years. And that January, so we're talking 3 years ago in January, we would normally have December's off for the most part. And over the Christmas break, I kind of said to myself, I think I'm done with this. It was getting very routine. This is where I sort of felt like I was an old curmudgeon. Now, I had long wanted to retire by the time I was 40. That was kind of a dream that I had. So that's why I worked myself like a dog. I would take jobs, and then I was also working my own stuff on the side in terms of writing for newspapers or whatever I was doing back in my 20s. And at 39 years old, I was kind of like, you know what? If I go one more year, it's going to be 16 years on the radio show. That just doesn't seem like 15 is just the better number. So what if I just retire at 39, right? And so I retired at 39. Now you're going to ask, well, then why are you, you're hosting a podcast? You still do entertainment reporting? That's just fun. It's just fun stuff. And I'll be honest with you, I made a shit ton of money. And I think it was 2010 and 2011. I've only now just recently started talking about this. I was making $250,000 a year in radio syndication. That was when we started to cover red carpets, and I brought in staff. It was fun because I had the money to do that. Up until that point, though, I was kind of like, I'm going to do all this. I'm the entrepreneur. All the money is for me. And then you're kind of like, but we're growing and we sort of need help. And it just wasn't working having like a freelancer and this and that. So that's where I pulled in our team. But I just remember in our planning meetings, we weren't sure how we were going to end the show. So that January, I said, okay, well, here's the deal. My contract with the radio stations or whoever we were dealing with, my contract was up that April. So I had the opportunity come January, and it's my company, so really I can do what I want. But to make it more sort of official, I had a contract that I would host the show for these stations because then I had the time slots or whatever it is. It was also easy for advertising because they would know, okay, well, Jeremy's locked in now for another year, year and a half or whatever it was, and they could do long-term advertising. So it worked all around. Now, I had said, I'm not going to renew in April. So in January, when we came back, and that wasn't shutting down the company because we were still producing for other things. It wasn't like all of a sudden this show is ending and now all of you are out of jobs. That wasn't the case at all. So I just said, you know, I just won't be hosting this show, but otherwise we'll continue on with entertainment correspondence. We can do red carpets and crap like that. We still have our book publishing thing. We were doing newspaper syndication. We were producing content for airlines, for in-flight entertainment. So we still had a bunch of stuff. It's not like anybody was like, oh, I'm losing my job. And there was excitement because you have to remember when you've done something like that for 15 years, and I'm talking to people who are in their 20s now, you are not having the same job for that length of time. You might be in the same industry, yes, but, you know, and I would equate this to anybody who's a YouTuber, anybody who's a TikToker. Let's try that for 15 years and see how that goes for you. Nobody's doing it. Even the people who have crazy big audiences. And I'm not talking, you know, the Joe Rogans, the Kim Kardashians, the whoever. I'm talking just the everyday people, because that's what I was in my parents' basement when I started doing this radio show before I moved into my house and then had my own company. But you're slugging it out because people just don't have that sort of, it's not even necessarily attention. You just don't have that commitment for it. And I know somebody who, she's been an executive assistant for all of her life. She's always had sort of administrative jobs. She's in her 50s now. She's looking to do something completely different. But what my point is that she's from the generation that I'm in, which is you've done that for a very long time. She's done that for 20 something years. Okay. There's the difference. And I also know somebody who does social media for a big corporate retail environment. And she's had some sort of drama behind the scenes at the job. So that's kind of why she's wanting to make a change altogether. She's just sort of soured on the whole social media thing. And she's like, yeah. And she's 2 years old. She's in her 40s anyway. I don't know. I think she's 2 years older than me. So she's, you know, roughly about 43, 44 years old. Two kids are grown now. So her and her husband, you know, the kids are off to university or wherever they are. And she's kind of like, you know what? Yeah, I'm getting too old to kind of do the social media thing. The social media thing is for the youngins now. And that's sort of how I felt about the radio show was all these new artists, these new songs, everything that's coming out. I had no interest in them. I hated the music that was coming out. It was just so computerized. It wasn't really music. Music in the sense of natural raw singing, right? Everything was touched up. Everything was, you didn't have your natural, like Celine Dion, Whitney Houston kind of voices. Now you've got that rah, 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 when they, you know, and then I started to feel like I was going to be shot when I was listening to these songs. It just felt too gangster. Like, I just feel like, ugh, I'm going to just get beat up or something, or like somebody's going to steal my car when I'm listening to this. And what we ended up doing for the last little while was we ended up just redoing the exact same music playlists. So we would have two of them that we just kind of flopped back and forth. So week one, sometimes we would tape two shows in a day. So we would do the playlist from show A would then be used on show C, right? So it would be every second show would have the exact same music lineup. And so people internally were kind of like, well, don't you think people are going to notice? And I'm sitting there going, the people listen to this show. The audience listens to this show once a week. There, maybe we'll switch up. We'll move the order around, maybe. But otherwise, like, people aren't remembering, hey, wait a second, 2 weeks ago on Thursday, they started the show with the exact same song. Like, get over yourselves. People aren't paying that close attention to what we were doing. Even I would admit that. And so my heart just wasn't in it anymore. And I just kind of felt like, ugh. Reminds me of there was a radio station in Winnipeg when I was growing up. It was called Q94 FM. I think it's had so many different iterations now. I don't even know if it's... It went to like oldies, and then it went to this, and then it went to that. But I remember there was the trio that hosted the morning show, Bo, Tom, and Dez. Coincidentally, Bo still hosts in Winnipeg, and I've been on the radio with him talking about my best-selling books in the past, and even entertainment stuff we've talked about. But I just remember them being on this top 40 music station, and they were the morning show, and here they were, and Bo is at least in his 60s now. His kid is almost my age. And I remember them kind of saying, you know what, we're gonna be kind of retiring this group. We're going to be moving on. And even they said, like, it's weird being in your 40s and being excited about Britney Spears and being excited about Justin Bieber or whoever was on the radio at the time. And so that's kind of where I was at. I was like, I'm not hitting it off with this new music. I don't care for it. I don't like it. I don't know the names of these artists. Everybody has these weird, you know, ASAP Rocky, Ty Dolla. Like, they've got symbols in their names and everything. And I'm just kind of like, I don't get it. It's just not for me. And so what eventually happened with this show was I would come in. I would sit down here we taped all the shows in this studio. I would come in. If we had a celebrity guest, most of the time that was always pre-taped. So there were times where I would literally come in. I would legitimately sit down at this desk right here. We had a different microphone. We retired the original microphone. But I would come in, do the intro, which was, I think I had 20... Shit, I don't remember now. I had the 24 or 26 seconds because the music would come in right after I would finish talking. And then it would go right into the first music set. And then they would play four songs. And then I would come back on for another minute and a half or whatever. I would talk about what's coming up on the show. Now, if we had a celebrity guest, that was pre-taped. Great, I didn't have to do that 8 minutes when I was sitting here that day. And then they would drop in that segment or those two segments for the interview. And then I would come in and the next segment would be the top of the second hour. So I would just do the recap. Coming up this hour, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, here's your next song. And then sometimes we would have a second celebrity guest, which is already pre-taped. So it would take me some days. I could tape my parts of the two-hour show in about 6 minutes because we'd just done so much extra work ahead of time. And that's where, when you know your heart isn't in it anymore, when you're like, all right, here, I'm going to sit down. Okay, what's on the show today? Okay, great. I'm going to do that. And here we go. Like, you're just going through the motions at that point, and it just wasn't fun. And so I remember the excitement, though, of, oh my God, we're going to wrap this up. How are we going to finish this show? What's going to be the very final show? Not that we've had, like, big time. You know, we were covering red carpets. We did all those, you know, back when America's Got Talent and American Idol and The Voice and all of them were a big deal. They would have red carpets. Like, we would be standing, you know, and interviewing all these finalists and the performers that were on the show. I mean, that's where I met Stevie Wonder and Leanne Rimes and Patti LaBelle and just, you know, everybody back in the day. And so how do you wrap that up, though, right? I mean, at least I wasn't canceled where I didn't get a chance to say goodbye, right? Because that happens a lot, especially in radio. You could come in and they're going to say, well, we're flipping to a country station now and you're all out of a job. Thank you so much. And the door's not going to, you have to exit the property immediately. there's no thanks for your, you can't, no chance to even say goodbye. Just, we're going to walk you out the back door and you're not allowed into the building or we're going to have you arrested. Thank you so much. Goodbye. And, you know, so at least I had a chance to say goodbye. And we prepared. I told listeners, hey, look, you know, we're winding down. So the initial goodbye was supposed to be in April. And then I was kind of having regrets about it. I was sort of sitting there going, I don't really know if I want, is this really the right move? I've kind of already said that it's happening. But again, it's my company. It's my show. I can keep doing it if I want to. And I kind of hung on for another 2 months. We taped two more months worth of shows. Now, this is where you would say that I wasn't on contract. But again, it's my company. So, you know. And I just remember going, this was a big part of my adulthood because I started hosting the show when I lived with my parents. In that time, I bought a house, I started a company, I got married. So my entire adult life circled around this radio show. And there was this big fear, and I think a lot of people go through this when they retire, is what's going to become of me? This is all I know. All I know is running around, working all these hours, doing, you know, all I know is being an entertainment reporter. And I think this is why I've still hung on to do our entertainment wrap-up segment and the call-ins when there's a big celebrity story with the stations that previously broadcasted our shows, is that I can't let that go. You know, it's still kind of fun making fun of celebs. Really, it is, right? And so it's saying goodbye to the radio show was very strange for me. And I didn't want it to end. I'm sitting here going, well, now what? Even though it was my idea, it was still... And so we ended up doing this big goodbye in Nashville. We actually had a bunch of different ideas that didn't pan out. And I remember feeling really disappointed and really discouraged. And that was maybe partially why we kind of strung it along as well, was because I thought, I'm not confident. Actually, this is exactly what Bonnie just said. It is right. Because I remember calling her. I was sitting in the backyard and I just said, like, we wanted to do a couple different things. We wanted to have the premiers from across Canada. We wanted them to call in to do kind of a fun sort of, we were going to do it like New Year's Eve, where we would go across the country, you know, like they do on the time zones for New Year's Eve. So we wanted to have the premiers from every province and territory across Canada just come on and do a quick, you know, congratulations sort of a thing. That didn't work out. And then I said, what if we get all the living Canadian prime ministers from the past? We had, I don't know how many we had at the time, but you know, what are they doing now, really? Once they've retired. So that also did not work. And then I said, well, what about getting a bunch of different entertainment hosts? So that would be your John Tesh, your Mary Hart, your Lisa Gibbons, your Billy Bush, your, who else? Oh, Nancy O'Dell was on with us all the time. So, you know, get or Mark Steinis and, you know, just all those people that hosted Entertainment Tonight, Access Hollywood, Extra, whatever back in the day, Mario Lopez. And so that would be kind of fun because we could then talk about what your first red carpet was like. What was that like covering it? The first celebrity that you talked to. You know, how the entertainment business has changed since you've got into it. Because, and again, a lot of these people are retired now. But, you know, what do you think? Oh, Melissa Rivers would be one of them as well. Ben Mulrooney from E-Talk or from Canadian Idol in Canada was somebody else. So we had this list and I kind of thought, if you don't get all of them, then it doesn't really... It would be weird, right? The most well-known would be Mary Hart and John Tesh because they kind of... Entertainment Tonight was, you know... It's had so many different hosts over the years, but they're kind of the two that a certain generation of people knows. And so John had been on the radio with me a bunch of times before because he's a musician. So we talked about him and or we talked about his projects and things, and he's still good friends with Mary Hart. And I said to John's rep, I'm like, can he talk to her and maybe just see if she'd want to do it? And as time was going on, it was kind of like, oh, it's just dragging out. It's dragging out. And after a while, being in this business as long as I have been, after a while, you're kind of like, it's not going to happen. So just don't even bother holding out hope. So that kind of fell by the wayside. And so this is back to where I was just saying about Bonnie and when I was in my backyard. It was just a nice hot day. I was tanning in my yard and just out of nowhere, I had just had a very long call with Bonnie. I had a very long call with Bonnie. And I got up to go throw something in the garbage across the yard. And just out of nowhere, I just thought, Nashville, Music City. So I called her back. This is, I swear to you, it was not even 5 minutes later. Not even 5 minutes later. And she answers the phone again. She's like, we just talked. What? And I said, Bon, Nashville. And she said, yes. Because not only did I host the Top 40 music show, I also hosted a country music show, which I had signed off of. That one kind of just fizzled out. We ended up just stopping it. I didn't even do a goodbye. We just sort of pulled the plug. But Top of the Charts was our bread and butter. That was our big moneymaker. And so she said, yeah, okay. So she was in the office. And I said to her, like, let's just, you know, we had done all these tourism programs as well. Like, get on the phone with a tourism board or whoever. We have record labels and you know, publicists and everything that we know in Nashville. Let's just make this happen. And within, this is not a joke, within about 3 or 4 days, we had everything locked in. We had everything. So rewind to January, where we had really the idea of, okay, Jeremy signing off. We've got a few months to think about it. He's signing off in April. Let's make it happen. And then, you know, through the months, all these different ideas don't pan out. JB's still sticking it out because he's stubborn like that. And then out of nowhere. We thought about Mexico. You have to realize this was also just around the time the pandemic was sort of ending-ish. Nashville was open. It was very weird to me because we didn't have to wear masks there. And you still had to wear it on the plane. You still had to get your test. You had to be tested, you know, 17 times before you went and even just to get on the airplane and then to get into the country. And it was a really weird time. So it was hard to get a tourism program because, like I said, places weren't reopening yet. So what would be the point of saying, hey, come to Mexico, because Mexico's like, we don't want you. Don't come here, please. Nashville was reopened, so the timing was just perfect. And yeah, within about 3-4 days, they had an itinerary. We were booking it so that I was flying out in June. But it came together almost like just... Do you ever have those moments, though, where... If your brain, you just can't think of something, and then I don't know, maybe it's when you're driving, or you're in the shower, or you just happen to be laying in bed, and all of a sudden you remember something, or something comes to you. That's truly what this was, and I still remember it. Like I said, I remember that I had just talked to Bonnie moments earlier, and I remember walking to the garbage, and it was just something as I stood up and walked, here it is, this is the idea. And that's what we ended up doing. And we signed off. The very last segment was on the center stage of the Grand Ole Opry. That's not true. Okay, I think we've told the story now. Okay, now that so many people are in broadcasting and they understand what editing and all this other stuff is like, that was sort of also why I didn't like doing the radio show anymore, because there just wasn't this... Everybody was doing it now. Everybody hosted a podcast. Everybody had a YouTube page. Everybody was doing the celebrity interviews. Everybody was doing this and doing that. And... So we taped the Grand Ole Opry as part of the blitz that I was there, which was, about 3 or 4 days. So we planned the show in 3 or 4 days, and then I didn't fly out for a few more weeks after that, but then I was there for about 4 days. And the Opry, it was funny because I think I flew out on the Monday and I came back on Thursday. We taped the Opry segment on a Wednesday afternoon, and then we had... I think 3 other segments after that. So it was all taped out of sequence. But again, welcome to showbiz, welcome to entertainment, or broadcasting anyway. And so it was really funny for me to do this big goodbye, signing off. You know, this is the very last segment. Well, technically it was. It was the last segment that aired on the show ever, but it was not the last one that we taped. There's that fine print, the asterisk. And it was really funny because we do this big goodbye. Everybody's kind of like, wow, you just said goodbye. And I'm like, okay, now we got to go and do this other segment. It was really strange. So the very last segment of the show, I believe, now I don't remember actually, was it the zoo? Because I got my face painted. Was that the last? I don't remember now. Oh dear, I don't remember the very last thing that we did. I don't remember. It wasn't the Ryman. I can't remember. It might have been the zoo. Was it the zoo? Because then they took me to KFC for a photo op. I'm going to tell the KFC story. Okay, we're going to take a break. I'm going to tell the KFC story after the break right here on The Scribble.
Ever had something to get off your chest but never had the balls to say it? That's a load of crap. Speak Free with JB.com is exactly what you've been waiting for. Your chance to tell it like it is and not care what anybody else thinks. Have your say on issues of the day. Join newspaper and radio columnist Jeremy Bradley as he tells it like it is. Hundreds of thousands of people have stopped by, including some well-known celebrities who have had a chat with JB and speak candidly about what's really going on in the world. You can join them too. Have a rant or a rave. Be brave and head on over to www.speakfreewithjb.com now.
It's never too early to start thinking about your next holiday. Have you checked out Mexico recently? From tequila tasting, swimming with horses, to zip lining through the jungle, and watching whales and dolphins in their natural habitat, Puerto Vallarta has it all. Visit mexico.jbonair.com to see all the fun PV has to offer. That's at mexico.jbonair.com for hundreds of photos, interviews, and videos from around the tourist hotspot. Check out mexico.jbonair.com for all the fun. That's mexico.jbonair.com.
Who are the Kardashians feuding with now? What did that little thug Justin Bieber do this time? Who's getting hitched and who's headed for Splitsville? Hear the latest celebrity news and gossip every day, an entertainment wrap-up. The good, the bad, the ugly, but mostly the ridiculously hilarious. It's all recapped in this daily segment at entertainmentwrapup.com. Have a laugh at the expense of the rich and famous when they take themselves way too seriously. It's 3 minutes of time-wasting fun at entertainmentwrapup.com. Check out Entertainment Wrap-Up at entertainmentwrapup.com. Brought to you by Speak Free Books.
We hear you chirping. Get scribbling. Tweet up the scribble at the Scribble Show. Join the discussion with Jeremy Bradley. It's all going down right now on Twitter at the Scribble Show and at thescribbleshow.com.
JB here on the Scribble, just taking a walk down memory lane. I find that I do this a lot more as I'm getting older now, because there's just something about the good old days. You know, when you're young and you hear that when you're a kid and your parents or whoever are talking and they say the good old days, they'd say that, and there used to be a shot at you as the kid, because that meant that they are reliving their freedom and they didn't have the responsibility of snot whatever little kids. And so for me, I take that back to, with no kids, that's where I haven't aged really at all. I just remember thinking, I could go in a bubble and back to like 1997, classic Spice Girls, Golden Girls, DVDs, my CD player, my Discman, whatever you want to call it, not even having all the like latest up-to-date technology, I can live in that world forever. My husband always wants to get, the next bigger TV and the next. I'm like, no, the TV in our living room, I have more money than I need. The TV in our living room is now 16 years old. It's not one of those big box ones. It doesn't look like an ice chest. It's not a big, it's still a flat screen TV or whatever, but that's fine. If you want to get one for your gym, he has a gym in our house. If you want all that kind of shit in your gym, that's fine. But I'm not just going and I'm fine with everything the way it is. So, the KFC story, I alluded to it in the last segment. Something that we were doing during these travel programs was a KFC photo op in every city. And it ended up becoming a thing. Now, it started back in Montreal when we had it was a weird scheduling conflict that we were going to be taping our spring break programming over the Easter weekend. Now, Montreal is a very religious city. And I remember, because I was always the young one or the youngest one in our family. And my grandpa had just died this was the first Easter that we were having without him. So he had died, the year before. And my grandma, who was very, very insistent that family members be together for Christmas. He died in the summer. So the first Christmas that we had without him was a little bit tough. And then the new year, and then we loop around and we're coming up to Easter. So, she wanted to make sure that everybody was at her house for Easter. And I was just kind of like, well, I'm doing this thing in Montreal. It's work. I really don't have, there's a lot of money on the line. This is my job. And we had just taken a break. They had just dropped me off at my hotel, fancy swanky hotel. And all of a sudden my phone is ringing. Anytime I would come back to my hotel room, I would always just throw my, my room key, whatever, just on my bed. And so everything was always on my bed. And then my phone starts to ring and I look and it's my grandma's name coming up. I could count on the number of, on one hand, how many times my grandma actually called me when I was in my 20s and 30s. She just, my mom would call me and relay information. My grandma would never directly call me. So I knew that my family was having Easter dinner that night. So I answered the phone and it's my grandma. And she's like, Jeremy, are you coming for Easter? Now, again, like I said, I've always been the youngest. Everybody else in the family has kids. They were married. I was on my own. I was just one person. But she knew that I wasn't there. And so she's like, are you coming? Now, my grandma used to make this really good gravy. And for some reason, as a kid, I called it pizza gravy. I don't know why. I just did. And so she said, Jeremy, are you coming for turkey? And I made my pizza gravy. And I was just like, oh my God, you're going to make me feel like the biggest asshole in the world. And I said, well, no, Bob. Bob is what you call grandma in Ukrainian. I said, no, Bob, I'm not even in winter. I'm not home. I'm traveling. I'm away for work. Oh, so you're not coming for Easter? And I said, no, I'm not. But okay, here's what I'm going to do though. I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a turkey dinner here. And then I'm going to send Trevor, my brother, I'm going to send Trevor a picture of my Easter dinner, me having turkey. I'm going to send that to him. Now, again, remember, this was before the days of like texting and all this other stuff. So I took a picture with my digital camera and then I emailed it to him. Yeah. And then he opened up the email and he showed it to me. So I said, I'll have a turkey dinner and I'll send you a picture and then we can be eating together at the same time. Video chatting and all that shit wasn't a thing back then. And so she was like, oh, I would like that. So I call down to the front desk of the hotel and I say, okay, I need to find out where there is a good, where can I get a turkey dinner for Easter? And they said, well, you're in the finance district and nowhere. And I said, there's no restaurants? Like, really? They said, well, nothing is open this week. Like, we are shut down. This city is shut down for a good, like, 4 days, really, over the Easter weekend. And I was just like, ooh, that could be trouble. So I said, okay, well, we got to find me turkey. Like, what? And remember, before the days of Uber Eats, you were not just dialing up on your phone and getting. We're going back a good, I would say this was about, well, now, well, it would have been about 15 years ago. So, yeah, we were very limited in the way you, but here's the thing. In Canada, KFC has always delivered in some cities. And so the front desk, the concierge, had said, well, it's not turkey, but there's KFC. And I said, where is that? He said, however many miles away. It was a very far trip. And he's like, it's not walking distance. And I said, but they deliver, right? He said, yes. And I said, okay, that's great. It was almost a 45-minute drive to find one that was open. And there was like some kind of a surcharge I remember having to pay. And so, because this was a really fancy hotel, they were not having some food delivery person come up to my room on the executive floor. No. What happened was, the concierge, because I was a VIP guest, the hotel ended up just paying. The concierge paid for the meal and tipped and did whatever. They just charged it to our room. It was intercepted, I always say. My KFC was brought to my hotel room on a silver platter. So just like you would order room service, that's how it was brought up to me. So you've got this like concierge in the suit or whoever it was that came up and takes the lid off of it. And here is your food, sir. And I just remember as soon as the door closed when he left, I burst out laughing because it was the funniest thing. You got this greasy KFC bag. I did take a picture of it and I sent it. And this is too good. And the reason why KFC seemed appropriate was because for Mother's Day, that's something that my grandpa would always get. Because they had a KFC right by their house. And I just kind of thought, well, you know what? KFC, it's not turkey, but it's the next best thing. She likes KFC, whatever, fine. So what ended up happening was my mom would then tell her anytime that we were doing a travel show, my mom would always go, oh, Jeremy's, no, he's not home or he's not out of town or whatever. And it became a thing where I would do a photo op in a KFC for my grandma. And we have a photo op when she's passed away now. But we have a photo album of me in KFCs all over the world because when I would do travel programming or even if I would just be taking a trip somewhere, I would find it was always when we were doing radio stuff. Yeah, actually, now that I think about it, but it became a thing. And so when we were planning these trips, tourism boards would be told either beforehand or when I was there on the ground, they would be told, oh, we also need to do a photo op at a KFC. So sometimes they actually thought that I was like this big KFC fanatic. And that it was a requirement. And I just kind of thought, I'm getting a reputation as being a diva. That he must have KFC. He must. Because, yeah, one time they even said that to me. Like, that I was going to be pissed. They were concerned that I was going to, like, you know, trash my hotel room if I didn't. And so when I tell them the story, they're like, oh, that's such a sweet story. Oh, my God, that's so nice of you. That's so great. Let's do it for Grandma. Let's do it for Baba. And so that it became a thing. It really became a thing. I'm not obsessed with KFC. Let me be very clear on that. Oh, that was one of the things that we wanted to do as well for the sign-off. We wanted to do a live broadcast from the KFC headquarters too. That was another one that fell through. That's right. We wanted to do that. That's also really disappointing. We're out of time. I've got to wrap this up. But that was something too where would I be able to live with myself after that? Would I be able to sign off on just feeling just discouraged and being like, you know, none of it's coming together, whatever, fuck it, let's just sign off now, let's get it over with. I stuck it out until we had something decent. I really did. And so in Nashville, yeah, I remember that. I remember we did the zoo segment and the driver, because they would hire a driver for me, so I would bond with this guy over the 3-4 days. And so he picked me up at the zoo. So he drops me off at the zoo first, and I'm looking one way when I get to the zoo, and then when I'm coming out, my face is painted. I look totally different. And he's like, "That's you?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's me. We did a face painting thing." And so then he takes me to KFC, and here I am in KFC with my face paint and everything. doing this photo op, and I just thought, this is the stupidest thing. This is the best way to sign off, is here I am. I don't even care that I'm this grown man with like a tiger painted on my face. Who cares? And so I went and I did the KFC photo op. It was just really funny. So anyway, what the point of this? We're out of time. We got to go. All right. Well, what was the point of this show? I don't even know. I just love reliving memories of the good old days. And that's, I hope you took that from this 30-minute episode of The Scribble. My name is Jeremy Bradley. I will talk to you next time. Bye-bye for now.
Want more Scribble? Check out thescribbleshow.com for past shows, celebrity interviews, cheapskate tips, and more. That's at thescribbleshow.com and on Twitter at The Scribble Show. The Scribble is a speak-free media presentation.
If you want some real heat.